Today, as we come to the table,
your pastor can't do this one. Your friends can't do this one. I'm going to do this one. I appreciate the water baptism, how it's symbolic of what you've done. It's an outward picture of an inward change. You've given your life to the Lord. You've gone under the water. You've died to the old self. You've come alive to the new in Christ. I appreciate the symbolism. The Lord would say, I gave that to you. I told you to do that so you could live out on the outside what's happened on the inside, and it would be a testimony to the world around you. But there's another baptism that I'm going to do for you. And I myself am going to do this. And when I do it, I'm going to give you power to walk with me.
Today, Pastor Mark is diving into the baptism of the Spirit, and that's a baptism that only God can give you. It's an extraordinary, otherworldly experience that empowers you to follow Jesus and be His witness with boldness. When you are baptized with water, it's you making the decision to follow Christ and let the world know. But when God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit, it's all about what He is doing and not about what you are doing. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. If you feel like your Christian walk is powerless and shaky, invite the Spirit to fill you today and then begin to speak the words He gives you. Watch lives be transformed before your eyes. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 1 as he begins his message, Baptized by Jesus.
Glad to have you. If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Acts chapter 1. As if you missed last week, we started a new book, and the book of Acts, an exciting book. I'm excited to go through the book of Acts because I believe the book of Acts is a model that God has given us of how He wants His church to be. And I want to say right off the bat, I don't believe that the early church was perfect. And everybody talks about wanting to go back and be like the early church. We could go back and pick the early church apart and find a lot of flaws because they were humans like us. But with that said, I will say I do believe that the book of Acts is a template that God gives us of the way He wants His church to operate, and I believe the way that the church will operate if done properly. Last week, we did the first three verses. We're going to take up today in verse 4. Let's read those verses together. We'll do 4 through 8. Notice it says, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, 'You've heard from Me.' For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, 'Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that You would bring Your word alive to us this morning as we see You giving this promise, Lord, of this power, this promise, Lord, of this baptism, this promise, Lord, that You would do something in our life, Lord, that would give us the ability to walk as a Christian, the ability to live as a Christian, the ability to be Your witnesses. And God, we need all the help we can get. I know, Lord, that I need Your power, and I know that the family of God here today, as they hear me say this, they know that they need Your power as well. And so, God, just as a congregation, as a body, as Your family, Lord, just being gut-level honest before You right now, with our hearts laid open, speak to us, Lord. Tell us how to walk in power. Show us how to walk in power. God, open up Your word to us and speak to us in power that we might be the witnesses that You've called us to be. It's all the work of the Spirit, Lord. And so we ask You to work, Lord, today, not just in the teaching, but to change our lives. And we thank You, Lord. We look forward to what You're going to do in this time together, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I've entitled today, Baptized by Jesus, and that might seem like kind of a funny title, but really that's what this is going to be about. And guys, this is really the crux of what it means to live the Christian life, this portion of Scripture that we're looking at today. Because as a believer, unless we have the power of God in our life, we cannot do this thing called the Christian walk. We can't do it. We can't walk for the Lord, much less be a testimony or witness for the Lord. How many of you, you gave your life to the Lord and you knew you were forgiven, you knew that God had cleansed you, whatever, but you were still afraid to share your faith? Ever been there? I have. I'm your pastor and I've been there, afraid to share my faith. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I gave my life to the Lord. I was excited to know the Lord. I wasn't even plugged into a church yet, because when I got saved, when I gave my life to the Lord, I was by myself in my apartment, you know, that I was renting, and I hadn't even thought about a church yet because I didn't know the Lord. But God came after me right where I was there in my apartment. So it wasn't through a particular teaching, maybe years and years of people sharing, but I gave my life to the Lord and I knew I was forgiven. I knew I had that joy of the Lord. I was walking with Him. I was His child, but I didn't have power. Now, what I mean by that is I didn't have the ability to quit everything that I knew was wrong. You know, God took some of the biggies away right off the bat, but He didn't take everything away. And I realize I'm still in prison to a couple of things here. And I also realized that when it came to the opportunity to share the Lord with someone, I couldn't always do that. I would wimp out. I'd get afraid. I wouldn't say anything. And I began to associate a lot more with what happened to Peter than I'd like to admit. And that was, I don't know if it was really a denial of the Lord. I wasn't saying that I don't know the Lord, but I just wasn't bold in sharing the Lord. And some of you guys have probably been there. I know I'm not the only one. This passage is going to answer the question for you as to why you were there, or why you're still there, and more importantly, how you can get out. Now, when I was a baby Christian, I didn't understand enough about the word to know how to get out, but we're going to see today that the Lord tells us, and of course, God set me free, and God gave me power, and God has now taught me since then, because it all happened as a baby Christian, but it was because Jesus Himself baptized me. You might say, Mark, that's a little bit crazy. What if you show up at the river and there's Jesus? No, listen. The Bible says there's a water baptism and there's a baptism in the Spirit. And water baptism is done by man. Your pastor has probably, if you've been baptized, your pastor has given you baptism by water, or maybe someone else, baptism by water. But baptism by the Spirit is something that Jesus holds exclusively to Himself. He says, this one is mine. Your pastor can't do this one. Your friends can't do this one. I'm going to do this one. I appreciate the water baptism, how it's symbolic of what you've done. It's an outward picture of an inward change. You've given your life to the Lord. You've gone under the water. You've died to the old self. You've come alive to the new in Christ. I appreciate the symbolism, the Lord would say. I gave that to you. I told you to do that so you could live out on the outside what's happened on the inside, and it would be a testimony to the world around you. But there's another baptism that I'm going to do for you. And I myself am going to do this. And when I do it, I'm going to give you power to walk with me. Again, already when I say this, we need to realize that some of you, I realize, because of all the different backgrounds, some of you right now have a little bit of maybe panic mode going. You know, we're going to talk gut level honest here in this service, okay? I'm going to talk to you straight from the heart. You know, I find that oftentimes over the years, especially as a young pastor, I would kind of sugarcoat or maybe approach certain subjects a little bit softer, because of worried about how it would be received or not received. And I think there's wisdom in using tact, don't get me wrong. There's wisdom in being gentle, but there also has to be gut-level honesty, doesn't there? And there's got to be straightforward, here's what the Bible says, here's what we need to do. And when I mention a baptism of the Spirit, there, I said the words. Some of you are in panic mode. Automatically, depending on your background. You see, with Calvary Chapel, we have all different denominations represented in this room. I guarantee you. I guarantee you there are people who grew up Catholic. I guarantee you there are people who grew up Methodist. I guarantee you there are people who grew up Baptist. I guarantee you there are people who grew up Presbyterian. Go down the list. I guarantee you, you're in here. And depending on which group or which denomination you were in, you have an opinion that you formed about that certain phrase. And for some of you, you go, yeah, that's exciting. We're going to see God move. And for some of you, you're going, oh, no. You know, they're going to get weird and this whole thing. So it depends on what your background is, what you're thinking. Here's my heart and here's my goal. I'm going to share with you the Word of God. I'm going to end today by sharing with you my testimony. I'm going to share with you what God did in my life and what Jesus Christ said Himself. And I'll leave it between you to sort out all the differences. But all I know is this. If someone wasn't bold enough and honest enough to share with me what I'm going to share with you today, I would not be a pastor standing in this pulpit. Because for the first months of my Christian life, I was a chicken. For the first months of my Christian life, I wouldn't share. I was afraid to share. I was more concerned about what people thought of me rather than what God was telling me to do. And something happened in my life that turned me around overnight. You ever wonder what happened in Peter's life? When one day he was scared to death of the Sanhedrin and all the religious leaders in Jerusalem, nobody was sharing. Everybody was, yes, they were having their public meetings up on the Temple Mount and on the southern steps. They were doing that because they gathered there together as their church on Saturdays, and then eventually switched to Sundays. They were gathering there, but they still were very quiet. They weren't saying a word. They were afraid of the authorities. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, the Bible tells us, and we'll get to that in Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon them, all of a sudden Peter gets up and begins to confront those who killed the Lord. He didn't just get up and share with his friends. He didn't get up and just share with his family. He went and confronted those who had put to death Jesus Christ. What happened? What was the change from one moment to the next that changed his life? What was it in my life that had me afraid and hiding to the next day, quite literally, in the malls, in the streets, with my friends, saying, I've got to share Jesus Christ with you? What happened to Peter? What happened to me? What has happened to some of you? And this is where, again, there's going to be that honest gut level talk across all denominational lines. What I'm asking is that let's just simply look at the Word of God. Let's hear what Jesus Christ said, and let's allow God to do in us what He wants to do. Because some of you think there are certain areas that we get into in the Bible that means that somehow we have to be strange. That is not the case at all. The Bible is not strange. The Lord is not strange. And this is a life-changing message that you're going to get today if you apply it to your life, because it changed my life forever. I look at my life in three segments. I look at my life as BC, before Christ, and I look at my life as after Christ, AC, or after death, we would say, because now He's alive, but he's risen. So I've got it broken up in two categories majorly in my life. But then once I got into after Jesus Christ, there's another category that changed my life months into my salvation. And that is when God gave me power to be a pastor. That is when God gave me power to share with you guys. That is when God gave me power to be set free of sins that had held me captive almost my entire life. So understand the message you're going to hear today. If you believe it and apply it, God will set you free from sins that have been gripping your life forever, as He did for me. And God will also give you the power to be the witness that God's called you to be. Who wouldn't want that? And that's the message that we look at today. Now, it's interesting. We talk about a baptism that Jesus Himself does. Where do we see this? We have to cover a couple of things before we jump into the passage. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said this. They asked John, hey, what are you doing? Who are you? What's your deal? John said this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. There's that pastoral baptism. There's the, I've given my life to the Lord and I'm going to be baptized today. John says, I do that. I give a water baptism. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, this is where John identifies who will be doing the baptizing. It's not the pastor. It's not John. It's not anything else. It is the Lord Himself. And it shows there that it is an entirely different baptism than water baptism. John says, here's water baptism. I'm living it out. I'm demonstrating it. I'm doing it. But there's going to be a spirit baptism that Jesus Himself is going to do. I can't do that. He's going to do that for all of His followers that ask Him to. And when He does that, we're going to see in today's passage that we are going to receive power. Now, what is the purpose of this baptism? Well, I've already said it, and that is to have power to live the Christian life, but more importantly, to have the power to be witnesses to the Lord, to be that testimony that God has called us to be. And again, as I talk about this subject, I already know that some people are a little bit tentative, wondering what's going on in all this and afraid of where this is going to go. But again, you have to realize there is nothing in the Bible that you have to be afraid of. Guys, you don't need to be afraid of anything, especially when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to get to just a moment why I think that many of us are afraid of that and why I think many denominations make a big deal to be afraid of that because of what they've seen, and legitimately so. Let me say that. But the bottom line is, anything that the Bible teaches, we have no need to be afraid of. And Jesus anticipated, interesting, note this, Jesus anticipated that this one subject in certain people would cause fear. How do I know that? Because in Luke chapter 11, Jesus was talking to His disciples. And He said to them, by the way, they were the 11 closest followers of Jesus Christ in the world. Judas was playing the game, but the others were there a part of it. And the Lord says to them, look, if any of you ask for a father to give him some bread, will He give him a stone? You know, if he asks for a fish, will He give him a serpent? You know, if he asks for an egg, will He give him a scorpion? Of course not. He said, so if you, being evil, that is of the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Heavenly Father give? Note this, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to you? Now, why did the Lord mention the fact that God was willing to give the Holy Spirit at the same time he's talking about things that make people fearful? I think because God knows human nature. And he thinks that some of us are going to, for some reason, be think that something's wrong because there's something we don't understand. The Holy Spirit, when God begins to work in our life by the Holy Spirit, the proper way, in the biblical way, it is a beautiful thing. It is an exciting thing. And it is a thing that God uses to bring power into our life. And so that's what we're going to look at today. Now, what are some of the reasons that people fear the work of the Holy Spirit? I believe personally it's because of the abuses of the Holy Spirit that some of you have seen. Some of you have come from backgrounds where everybody was running around crazy. Everybody were doing things that were very bizarre. And there were things that were you couldn't find in the Bible, but everybody was telling you not to squelch the Spirit. And so you went along with it. Maybe you were like in one of those lines up front where the guy up front's pushing on your head, you know, and trying to get you to go down or whatever. You're not going to do that. I remember as a baby Christian, I was in one of those. I wanted everything God had. And so everybody went forward because we're going to pray for all those who want everything God has. Well, I'm going to do that. So I go forward and everybody's kind of like, you know, they're touching them and they're all falling down, all this kind of stuff. And I didn't know the Bible and I didn't know enough about the Bible to know whether this was right or wrong at that time. All I knew is that this seemed weird. But although it seemed weird, I wanted everything Jesus had. So I went up there and I said, all right, I'll deal with the weirdness because I want everything he has. But everybody around me went down but me. And the guy began pushing on my head harder. And I remember thinking, God, I'm very embarrassed right now for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody else is laying down and I'm standing here. And number two, since I'm the only one that hasn't fallen back, that must mean that I'm the only one who is unspiritual. And I'm up here wanting everything you have. I'm desiring you. I ache. I want you so bad. I'm aching inside. How come this happened to them and it didn't happen to me? And I remember the Spirit working in my heart saying, if it's not real, don't do it. Because I had made up my mind, I want what's real. I don't want what's fake. Now, I held out for a good long time. And finally, just kind of out of... Yeah, I did a courtesy drop. Who said that? But I kind of just kind of laid down. I mean, I wasn't going to hurt myself. So I just kind of did this, you know, and whatever, you know. And I want to say this, guys, about my brothers and sisters who love Jesus in that service. You with me? I am not making fun of anyone. It is a lack of education in the Bible. It is a misunderstanding of the way God works. That's all that is. They loved Jesus. And they were and are my brothers and sisters. And some of them from that fellowship I still know today, and I have fellowship with them. But what they have since learned, and what I learned as a baby Christian, is that was a work of the flesh. That was man trying to make the Spirit move, but we were all sincere. But I made up my mind from that point, I will not do anything that's not real. I am not going to be manipulated. I'm not going to play religion. I'm not going to pretend something that's not. I'm not going to be led by feelings. I want everything you have for me, God, but it's got to be from God. It's got to be real, and I've got to find it clearly spelled out right here in this Bible. And if I don't, because people would say, well, you don't want to grieve the Spirit. Look, if I can't find it in the Bible, I'll take my chances that I'm not grieving the Spirit. Because I would rather stick to what I can find in the Bible and God say, well done, good and faithful servant, than to go outside of the Bible and God say, what were you doing? So stick with the Word. Make sure it's in the Word. But if it's in the Word, guys, everything in the Word is for us. And what's exciting about what God did in my life is God did these things in my life before I was around enough Christians to get me theologicalized. Now, I know that's not a word. But God came upon me with the power of His Spirit and changed my life with what we're about to read about today before any denomination or group could get a hold of me and say, well, that's not for today. God doesn't do that anymore. I didn't know that. So I just said, God, I want everything you have. And I'm just a little child baby and you give me everything you have. And God fell upon me and gave me the gifts and changed my life. And I'm glad God did it before I found out that it wasn't for today. Because if I'd found out it wasn't for today before he did it, I probably never would have asked. Nor would I have ever believed it. I like my ignorance at that point. I like my immaturity at that point because it was something I didn't fake. It was something I didn't manufacture. By the way, I was by myself. I'll get to that in a moment because I'm getting ahead of myself. But listen, the abuses of the Spirit and the gift is what drives the thinking Christian away. Yesterday, my neighbor across the street was fixing his mailbox. It had leaning or something like that. He pulls it back up and he puts all the things on it, gets it back in place, puts some concrete in it, was refixing it. I don't know, was just straightening it up. It had fallen crooked over the years, I guess. And he has this black can of spray paint. He's spraying it down, whatever, you know. And you know what? That spray paint serves a very good purpose. And it was functioning properly in its purpose. It was a beautiful thing. His mailbox was now shiny and black and looking great. I was like, that's really good. That's how the paint's supposed to work. But if he had walked across the street and started writing, Joe was here on the side of my wall, it's now being abused. And I'm going to stop it as quickly as I can and stay away from it as far as I can get. Do you follow me? I think sometimes we do this with the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We see people with the spiritual spray can that have good intention, good hearts, but they're getting it everywhere and they're making a mess of things and everybody's going, I don't want a part of that. What's going on? When the Bible clearly lays out the way that can of spray paint is supposed to be used, if you read the instructions on the can, shake well, you know, and do in the proper place or whatever, don't, whatever, it gives you the instructions. We have the same instructions for the gifts of the Spirit, and when they're done the right way, it's a beautiful and powerful thing. So don't make the mistake of doing away with the power of God in your life and the gifts of God in your life simply because you've seen somebody abusing the spiritual spray paint. Are you guys with me? Because if you're like me, you want everything that God has for your life, and I want everything that God has for my life, and so I want to be open to that. Now, this was the problem in the church at Corinth. In the church in Corinth, they had all the gifts. They were using the gifts in a wonderful way, but they were abusing them. Nobody was understanding how to use them. So Paul writes all these chapters in 1 Corinthians saying, whoa, I'm glad that you have all these gifts, but he said, you're scaring people off. This is what Paul said in my own words. He said, you're scaring people off. He said, if people come to Corinthian chapel and you guys all stand up and begin to speak in another language at the same time, or you guys start doing all this stuff, he said, they're going to think you're a nut. And he said, they're never going to come back. He said, stop. And then he begins to, he said, they're real. It's a good gift. I'm glad you have it. But here's how you do it. When you use that gift, do this. And when you use that gift, do this. And when you use that gift, do this. And do it in order. Now, again, there's a balance to that verse, do all things in order. You know, first of all, he's saying you're free to do all things. Don't forbid the gifts. Paul gives the warning. But make sure when you do them, it's done in order. It's done the right way. Paul had to devote all this time just to convince these guys, you know, to use it the right way. The same thing is true today. People are abusing it, and we have to teach the Word of God on the proper use of the gifts. But that's not even our point today. Our point today is the empowerment, which we're going to talk about, and not going to get into the use of the gifts and all that, but again, that's a whole other teaching. Now, something else we have to answer before we jump in today. What is the purpose of the gifts, and what is the purpose of this baptism that Jesus said he himself is going to do, that he holds personal? All right, what is the purpose? Power. That's all it is, power.
The New Testament book of Acts may sound like a simple Sunday school lesson, but it's so much deeper and richer than that. This book consists of remarkable men and women who risked and even lost their lives for the sake of Christ and his salvation. They got it. They came to a realization that nothing in this life would offer them something better than what Jesus had freely given them. They couldn't help but proclaim what he'd done for anyone who would hear. They even counted it joy when they were persecuted for the sake of Christ. What an example for us to look at, and to be in awe that we can be warriors for Christ as well, in our own sphere of influence. If what you're doing is for Christ and helping the gospel progress, then it's worth it, no matter the cost or loss of earthly things. If some of this sounds unappealing to you, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about what's weighing on you related to what you've heard. You're welcome to give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come and join us at Calvary Knoxville. Go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, you'll find them in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share next time, so join us again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.